All right, it is 7:33, and it is time once again for us to continue our political dialogue, our one-on-one political forums, if you will. All week long, I'll be talking with the various candidates running for the different supervisorial districts. Today, we are talking with Karen Brooks, who is running to unseat Mark Lovelace in the 3rd District. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Cliff. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time. I know you wanted to be here in the studio, but time constraints made it unable for you to actually be here.
I know. I was up till 2 o'clock last night working. Yeah. Thanks for letting me sleep in a little.
You bet. So I guess the first thing we need to do is just get a little bit of information about who Karen Brooks is, a little bit of your background.
Well, I came from Southern California in 79 to go to HSU and put myself through school on my own dime. It took me 7 years to do it, but I was debt-free. And like today, the economy was not well. It was like 1982, and there were no jobs. So slowly, I took a job, and that led to something, and I built a career in the private sector and have been a business consultant for small businesses since 1999, and I love it. It's about the only thing I can do really, really well is come up with ideas and implement them and make decisions. And I think that's 100% transferable to the county government.
Okay, so I guess that kind of segues well into the next question. You know, why are you running?
Well, there's a variety of reasons. One, I just don't like the servant's heart or lack of servant's heart in my opponent. Him impugning the grand jury, and I think it was his first or second year in office, really, I thought was harsh and uncalled for. The fact that he's not willing to stand up for people who don't want smart meters, again, just kind of says, gosh, you know, maybe you don't really know what your role is, which is our last line of defense. You know, they're our advocate. And so I just said, you know, I'm throwing my hat in the ring because I enjoy my freedoms. And I think our freedoms are kind of being tromped on if our supervisor doesn't stand up for us.
Okay, well, I guess that neatly segues into the next question. How do you differ from your opponent?
Good question. And, you know, it's something I've given a lot of thought, and it's really comes down to phrasing. For me, in fact, I'm writing the community comment that I'll be on the radio with tomorrow, which will really, I have 3 minutes to talk about that. I don't have that long right now, but it really comes down to I view my answers come from the communities and the neighborhoods and the public. My opponent views answers that come from state and federal government. Now, they're an ally, they're a resource, but I take the best of what the state and federal have to offer and then work at the local level to coordinate them in a way that's consistent, that works for us, that fits for us. Another great example is I'm going to be having, hopefully, if I'm lucky enough to be elected, a forum on home health care. And I've been taking, as I walk neighborhoods, and I've gone, gosh, about 6,000 homes, but as I walk neighborhoods, I talk to people about what they're interested in, and I'm making a list of people that I will engage in community dialogues. And I will go to them and ask their opinion, their judgment. I'll be at your pancake breakfasts. I'll be walking neighborhoods. I won't be a supervisor that's only accessible at the courthouse. My opponent is not that way.
Okay. I guess if you do get elected to office, what would be your top three priorities?
Well, I'm working on those top three priorities right now. One is revitalizing the harbor. We have 1,000 properly permitted acres waiting for opportunity. And there's some low-hanging fruit that we could take advantage of, such as there's a mariculture project being formulated with HSU. There's already aquaculture and oyster beds that have been pre-permitted, ready to go. But I also would like to look at an artificial reef project off the harbor. So that's about the three issues that I'm really looking closely at. Now, one of my advocacies that I'm working on is a business advocacy, where how can we help small businesses go from their home to Main Street, and in a way that's easy to navigate, that supports them, that has available resources to help them be successful. And then the third action team that I'm working on is looking at all the commercial and industrial space in Humboldt County And then kind of doing like a matrix, assessing what their needs are and all that, so we could do a master permitting. So when you do go from your home into Main Street, you buy into a permit that's waiting for you. Those things, I think, will help really unlock the potential of Humboldt County. We've got great innovation. We've got hardworking people. What's standing in their way is if government makes it too hard to do business.
So you were talking about some low-lying fruit, low-hanging fruit with regard to harbor revitalization. What is that low-hanging fruit?
Well, you know, I talked about the oyster beds that have already been pre-permitted, that people are buying like a master permitting for the North Bay for oysters. That's something that can create a lot of great jobs. There's already operators out there.
Yeah, we have oyster beds, though, right?
Right. Well, they need to be sold, and they need to be started up and gotten going. The artificial reef is sitting with the Harbor District right now. They've taken that initiative on, and they're doing a CEQA process. On the back end, the Humboldt Association of Saltwater Anglers, HASA, has the money, has all this stuff ready to go, but it's state lands that we need to get a permit from. And so that's something that I'm hoping that our state and federal elected leaders will partner with us to make this process happen. And then our harbor is supporting that because the money is there to make that happen. It's just the coordination of getting the lease and the permit for that. That could, they've been working on that for 17 years. That could happen within this next year if we can get all our ducks in a row. And this would be, I think, one of the first ones on the West Coast. So we're kind of paving the way. But again, once you start a process and you do a, like a master permit process, that should be able to be replicated all along the West Coast, because we need to look at creating more habitat for our fisheries.
Okay. Now, one thing you're aware of course, is I have a show called Happy Trails. I'm a trail advocate. And so I've got to ask you, and I think I know your answer since we've talked about this before, but do you support the creation of a regional trail system for Humboldt County?
Absolutely. It's really a passion of mine. I'm a big outdoor person. I was one of the founders of the Trails Trust way back when Jen Rice started the whole thing, you know, years and years ago. And it's been something that's been near and dear to my heart. And I helped, I was a coordinator for about a year and a half for the Humboldt Trails Council, which is now Humboldt, the Trails Trust, which is now Humboldt Trails Council. But, you know, there's some really exciting things on our horizon. You know, the Elk River Trail that they're going to begin work this summer. There's people who are kind of looking at the Arcata-Eureka corridor and kind of trying to nudge and move and negotiate and navigate and try and, you know, see what's possible between Arcata and Eureka. But something I'm really excited about is a surveying study is coming out soon for the Annie Mary Trail. And I really think we need as a community a big win. A big win. And I think Annie Mary is our next big win. I mean, because we need to learn how to rail bank. And we need to work with the easements. And we need to have something that we have a safe corridor for kids and commuters from Blue Lake into Arcata. And that's just, you know, that's just something that's really been on my heart. I know it's a contentious thing, but we can't back away from it because it's hard. We've got to really come together as a community and talk about what the obstacles and barriers are and realize this is a legacy we can give to our kids.
So do you support rail banking to achieve the end of a regional trail system?
And, you know, I'm for all of the above. You know, when a line can be rail banked, I'm for that. If it's a rail with trail, I'm for that. If it's, you know, just a regular trail alongside of a railroad with a fence in between, I'm for that. I'm for what works to move forward. So I'm for all of the above. But I think for Annie and Mary's, I think the community has come together. I think, and the history of that railroad, I think it hasn't been operating since 1999. I think people have kind of resigned themselves to the fact that that will not be used and it is going to be a corridor for something. And we have a couple tough spots to navigate. We have a bridge that we've got to work on. We've got some property owners we have to work with. But I'm so hopeful. Maybe I'm just too optimistic, but I'm really hopeful that we can make this happen. We need this win.
Let me ask you this. It's, you know, you are a big trail advocate, but you are also a Tea Party advocate as well. And I know the Tea Party is kind of very, you know, resident for government to play big roles in big projects, and certainly a regional trail system would be a big project that the local government would have to be involved in. How do you reconcile, you know, the Tea Party versus trail advocacy?
I don't understand. Don't people like free speech?
Sure.
So I'm not sure what the... Okay, well, let me just kind of answer the question. I'm not really sure about the question, but I'll try and answer it anyways.
So the question, basically, as far as I know, most Tea Party advocates don't want a lot of government involvement, basically the government spending money on big projects, and certainly a regional trail system would be a big project.
Well, it's like any form of transportation. You know, we pay tax dollars through gas tax, through property tax, through sales tax, so when we do, you know, provide services by which our government can use, I think what the Tea Party advocates for is how do we get the government to be malleable, to serve the people, to spend its dollars wisely. And we're not looking for the elimination of government, looking for to have a voice. You know, I think what really resonates to me with the Occupy movement or eighth grade civics class is we have the opportunity for speech and to address our government and to be heard and to be part of the process. And that's what excites me about the Occupy movement, Tea Party movement, or any type of free speech. You can't be for one form of free speech and not for the other. You need to really examine that. But I think what the Occupy movement and the Tea Party movement have in common is government and big business are out of control, and they are carrying the day. It's not about people anymore. It's about these policies. It's about this faceless bureaucracy. And people are not part of that equation. So that's why I feel that we need to speak up and speak out. And I will always, always defend that. And I don't have to necessarily agree with the method or the message, but I respect the opportunity and I applaud those who take the time to put themselves out there to stand up for all of us.
Okay, fair enough. What do you think are the biggest issues that are facing the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors right now?
Oh, the general plan, unquestionably. I mean, it really is a big black eye, in my opinion. It's they supported a process that has been fatally flawed. And, you know, my website, brooksforsupervisor.com, I hope people have a chance to Google it and go on and look at it, because I do have some information on how to fix and finish the general plan. I mean, the housing element that was rejected six times, that's just not, you know, it's telling you that something is broken and needs to be fixed. And we need to have an accurate inventory, land inventory, and that's kind of the heart of the general plan. But that's, I think, the big black eye right now, and we need to fix and finish it.
Okay. So the general plan, the biggest thing to fix at this point.
Well, yeah, because it's, you know, it's the constitution for the county. It's kind of where we all start. It allows us to leverage our land, whether we have a home-based business or we go out. I mean, zoning and land use is a big part of the prosperity. If we have our lands locked up, if it's more difficult for us to use this land, people are not going to invest their resources to risk a business. They're not going to try building a mother-in-law unit on the back of their house. I mean, if they make it so difficult for people to use land and leverage that land to create wealth for themselves and their families and ultimately their communities, then we have a document that is locking up the future of our community.
Okay, we're rapidly running out of time. One thing I've asked all the candidates, even though the Board of Supervisors is a nonpartisan position, I think voters have a right to know the political party that the candidates affiliate themselves with. So yours is?
I am no political party whatsoever. I'm not endorsed, supported, backed, or helped by any party.
Okay.
Period. Okay. And, you know, I'm really upset at the parties that have made such a mess of state, local, and federal government that more and more people are getting away from parties, and I think it should be. And I'm kind of disillusioned with some of the supervisors and some of our elected leaders that are endorsing nonpartisan races. That just shouldn't be.
Okay. And I'll give you the last word, last minute, to kind of sum this up for our listeners.
Well, you know, I think I'm the perfectly equipped candidate to run for the 3rd District. My free spirit background, my business advisory background, my love for people, and my opportunity to and skills to work within the community to come up with solutions and implement them is something I've been doing for 30 years, and I would love to do it at the county level.
All righty. Well, thank you very much, Karen. We do appreciate
you,
that.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
You bet.